So before we talk much about where we're headed next, let's talk about where we've been this year already. We started this year talking about building on the foundation that we laid over 5 years, and we talked about the idea that we're going to build with prayer, build with preparation, build with togetherness, build with encouragement, build with ministry to others, build with focus, build with discipleship, build with repentance, build with commitment, and build with celebration worship. And all of this idea is that we want to build a church that is outreach focused to reach those that are seeking Christ. And so in that vein, when we left our building project, we took a little walk. A short walk, it was only 4 weeks, and we took a little walk across the room, and we talked about what it means to actually tell your story to the world and what it means to become an evangelistic church, because we've been defining that word wrong for so many years. So what next? Well, kind of obvious from that introduction and all the characters on the stage and from my costume today. Do you know who I am? Got my red shirt, got my little yellow skin. I did decide to wear pants because I didn't think that would work very good. But I am Winnie the Pooh today, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to take a little walk through the 100-acre woods. Now, this is going to be a little bit different. And you can think of this series kind of like a self-help series. And I know in churches, we do not like these kind of series because they are going to kind of get up close and personal with many things that are going on in our lives today. And so to help the medicine go down, we've taken this very good series, and it's been wrapped in this lovable little land of Winnie the Pooh. And who doesn't like Winnie the Pooh? I mean, Winnie the Pooh is one of those characters that you just love because they're just characters that come to life. We grew up with these characters. They're a land of these cuddly little creatures that come and play with this little boy, and they teach him all of these wonderful lessons. But do you know all the characters have some shortcomings? I have to give credit where credit is due. It is my oldest son that pointed out to me that all of these characters could be considered to have some psychological and emotional issues. After all, Tigger is textbook ADHD. Rabbit is definitely OCD. Eeyore suffers from clinical depression. Pooh himself has an eating disorder. Al is one of the smartest characters, but probably suffers from reading issues, maybe dyslexia or something like that. Kanga is an overprotective parent that has to deal with being a single parent. We have no idea where Mr. Roo is. And Roo, well, he lacks the ability to perceive danger, and so at times finds himself in some precarious situations. Maybe the fact that all of these characters have some shortcomings is the reason that they have stood the test of time, and we love them so dearly because all of these characters kind of register with us. And you know what? Maybe there's some spiritual deficiencies when you look at them also. Maybe we can use these characters as kind of a backdrop to understand some of the things that we struggle with spiritually in our life, and maybe we can use some of their lessons to help us figure out how to overcome some of our spiritual deficiencies. And with my costume today, sorry, I have no bear ears. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But you have to understand, we are going to start with none other than Winnie the Pooh. Now, Winnie the Pooh, in case you're not familiar with the story, he is a bear. He probably is Christopher Robin's favorite toy. After all, it's mostly about Winnie the Pooh. He is short and round. See, I have something in common with him. He is a short and round creature, and by his own admission, he is a bear of very little brains and sometimes finds it very difficult to think. And even though he has difficulty thinking, he has a single-minded focus in his life. It's all about the honey. Winnie the Pooh is always about the honey. And you know what? It's not a bad thing. Honey's not bad. I like honey. I cook with it. I put it on biscuits. Honey's a very good thing. But the problem is, well, Pooh's little love of honey, it makes him a little overindulgent. Sometimes his love of honey has him roll around in the mud. Sometimes his love of honey has him battling bees. Sometimes his love of honey, well, it gets him just a little bit stuck.
On this fine day, Winnie the Pooh was invited over to his friend Rabbit's house for a bit of lunch. Being served his most favorite of foods, Pooh happily sat down to eat. And he ate and 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 ate. Until at last he said to Rabbit in a rather sticky voice,
I must be going now. Goodbye, Rabbit. Oh, help and bother.
Well, it all comes from eating too much.
It all comes from not having front doors big enough.
If I have to face that thing for months, well, I might as well make the best of it. Oh, no! There it is again! I'll just turn it to the wall. Oh, dear!
Pooh, Roo has a little surprise for you.
Flowers!
Honeysuckle!
That's not bad. Not bad at all. It's rather good, I think.
Oh, this bug!
No! No help! Why did I ever invite that bear to lunch?
And then one morning, when Rabbit began to wonder if Pooh might be stuck there forever, a miraculous thing happened.
He budged! Hooray! Christopher Crobbin! Christopher Ribbon! He bitched! He badged! He boojed! Today's the day!
Yee-ho! Yee-ho!
There he goes!
Bears love honey and I'm a Pooh Bear. Yum, 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 yum. Yum, yum, yum. Time for something sweet.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Yeah, we're going to try to transition that right into the Bible. Just stick with me for just a moment. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We'll get to the clip in just a moment because it had a very definite point. But I want you to look at this scripture first because today we're going to talk about indulgence. Now, this is not a message about dieting. We're not talking about going on a diet. We're talking about things that we indulge in that feed the flesh. And we're going to get to that. But the first thing I want you to see is you were called to be free. Now, we read that message in Galatians chapter 5:13, and we get all excited because, believe it or not, did you know there's actually three definitions of the word freedom? The first definition says the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Basically, that freedom says I can do what I want when I want to, and it doesn't matter. I don't have to deal with any of the problems it causes because I am totally free. Now, this attitude is the same attitude that you see in the book of Judges right after Moses and Joshua pass away. And with everything in one generation, everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes, and sin just abounded in Jerusalem. There's another definition of freedom. Freedom can also be the absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government, which basically means we have the idea that we are free to do what we want, and government, nobody can tell us what to do. There is no authority over us whatsoever. And trying to apply that to a Christian walk doesn't really work because if I use that definition of freedom and there is no true authority, then guess who cannot be the authority of my life? God. If we use that definition for freedom, the problem is that I don't really end up free because I have no relationship with God. It's this third definition that I want to focus on. When Paul tells us we are called to be free, what I personally believe he means is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Now, I have never been a prisoner, and I have never lived in slavery, at least physically. But I do understand the idea of having constrictions into my life and things that were places I'm not supposed to go. And a lot of times we think freedom is being able to go wherever we want to go, but really it just means that we are free not to be imprisoned or enslaved. Now, on that principle, the question becomes about our freedom, what are we enslaved by? See, if God came to give us freedom and we're not supposed to be in prison and we're not supposed to be enslaved, then obviously there was something in my life at some point that was enslaving me and imprisoning me. And we find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body was ruled by sin may not be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, that's an important aspect for us to remember, because what God came to free us from, what Jesus' sacrifice is supposed to do for us, this thing that we celebrate communion for every single week, it was supposed to free us from the bondage of sin. And that's hard. Because, let's face it, I still struggle with sin in my life. I still have those moments, and those moments incorporate much of my life where sin seems to have its way. And I think it's because I begin to do the one thing that back in Galatians Paul tells us not to do. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. The word indulge means to overfeed the flesh. And that brings an interesting question to me, because if Paul says I'm supposed to be free and I'm not supposed to indulge the flesh, then obviously I'm doing something wrong, because you know what? How do I indulge the flesh? What is it that Paul is telling me not to do so that I can figure out what it means to walk a better Christian life? How do I not indulge the flesh? Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. If you have your copy of God's Word, you can make your way that way, because we may be there for just a little bit. If you don't have a copy with you, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. But this is what it reads in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those that who live by these will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, usually when we turn our way to Galatians chapter 5, we like to go down to around verse 22, 21, where we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's the side that we want to focus on. But we overstep this little verse here right at the front. Because before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about what it actually means to indulge my flesh. And when I indulge my flesh, Paul tells us that it is obvious what I'm doing. In other words, I can tell to myself I'm not doing this, but it is kind of obvious what I'm doing. It's hard to hide. Sure, I might think I've got somebody fooled, and I might have somebody tricked into believing that I've got it all together. But the reality is that when I begin to indulge the flesh, you can't hide it. It's completely obvious that something is going on in my life that is putting a separation between me and God. I am indulging something in my life that will put a walk in my life that will lead me away from my relationship and not toward. It's obvious. And then he gives us these indicators. Now, I always fear when God puts lists in the Bible, because you know what happens whenever God puts lists? Yeah, we try to cross ourselves off of the list. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this that much. So after the end, I have the list. And, well, the list is, quite frankly, here's the list: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, and idolatry, and witchcraft, and hatred, and discord, and jealousy, and fits of rage, and selfish ambitions, and dissensions, and factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies. And we have all of these things. And I could probably go through, and I could maybe knock off a good portion of that list, and so I'm okay. I'm okay, because that list doesn't have some of the things that I struggle with in my life. Because you need to understand, this list is a special list, because these sins, this list, these are what you would call root sins. Meaning that I can take all the other sins that we have in our life, and I can trace them back, and I can marry them to one of these. So let me give you an example. And by the way, I picked my sin carefully so as not to step on anybody's toes, I hope. So let's talk about the sin of murder. Okay? Okay, I think we're good. All right, now if you look at that list Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 5, murder is not on that list, is it? So that must mean that I can murder and I'm okay because it's not on the list. Well, not really, because murder is an action. But let's trace murder back a step, because I can connect murder to hatred. Oh, well, that's on the list. I can connect murder to jealousy. Oh, that's on the list. I can connect murder to a fit of rage. Oh, that's on the list. I can go back and connect murder to discord, and guess what? That's on the list. You see, when Paul put out this list, the idea, he isn't trying to change your actions. He's actually trying to dig underneath the issues, and he's trying to change your beliefs. You see, the problem is I can believe in my heart, well, it's okay that I don't like this person, and I can even sort of hate this person because of what they did in their past to me. And so I can hold on to that hate. And you know what Jesus says? If you've hated somebody, you've already murdered them. We can connect other sins to this. We could take so many of the sins in our life, and I'm guaranteeing if you break them down, just like the sin of murder, we could walk all the way back, and on this list we will find something that we are indulging in, an underneath belief that it's okay for me to feel this way. So therefore, eventually, Satan will use that underneath belief to bring an action to the forefront. It works with everything. We could take the sin of adultery. Now again, not on the list. But look there, right at the top, sexual immorality. So I can connect adultery straight back to that. I could do that with lying. Well, lying's not on this list, but you know what? Most lies are told because we are either jealous or we're trying to sow discord. So again, there's a connection there. So we need to realize Paul is not here just trying to do this. These are belief sins, not action sins. These are the things that I can hold in my heart and I can feel and I can believe, and nobody ever knows that I am indulging of these until eventually the dam breaks and out comes the sin that everybody sees. But the problem is, underneath all this while, it's festering. It's going. And we begin to walk away from God instead of toward Him. And the real problem with this particular list in Scripture is that Paul attaches to this list a consequence. Now, we're not a society that likes consequences very much. We like to think we can do what we want and there aren't very many consequences. But Paul makes no bones about it. This is what he says. Right there in Galatians chapter 5, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I read that and I know exactly what you just heard. Did he just say I'm not going to heaven? I would like to let you know something. Number one, I did not write this. The book of Galatians was written sometime between 65 AD and 80 AD, depending on which scholar you want to listen to. And I'd like to let you know I was born in 1968 AD. So this was written about 1900 years before I ever arrived on this planet, so I did not write this. I'd also like to let you know that I don't have a hotline with God. God does not call me when somebody gets up toward Him and say, "Hey, Barry, what do you think? Is he an in or an out? Is he good or not?" I don't have any say in who goes into heaven and who does not. So when you hear me say that, I want you to know I am not judging a single sin, because I have my own sins to worry with. But I do want to tell you also that because this is God's word, and because this scripture attaches to all the other scriptures and is the transition over to that section that we like about the fruit of the Spirit, we can't just ignore this scripture because it makes me feel uncomfortable. God had it written there for a reason. And while I know what you heard, I also know what you kind of want to feel, because I justify the same thing when I read this list. Everybody has sin. Everybody struggles with things. How on earth are we supposed to reconcile this idea that those who indulge in these shall not inherit the kingdom of God? How do I rectify that? Because you know what? I have sin. Well, that's why I want to bring you back to that word today. It's our word, indulge. Now let's go back to Rabbit's house. Was eating honey sinful for poo? No, I hope not. Man, I hope not, because honey's good stuff. Well, what was the problem? The problem was he ate and ate and ate. Did you count how many pages went by as he ate and ate and ate and ate? Just in case you didn't get to count, it was 12. So Pooh ate and ate and ate and ate at Rabbit's house. For 12 pages, he ate. And part of the clip that got cut out, even when he was done with that and he was getting ready to leave and he shook Rabbit's hand and then he asked Rabbit, is there any more? He was not satisfied by what he was doing, and so he continued to eat. He continued to indulge himself. So I want to make sure you understand, when we go through things like Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, we're not talking about somebody that stumbles and falls. We're not talking about somebody that has a moment in their life and they stumble and they fall and they realize what they're doing is wrong and they get themselves back up and they repent and they confess and they turn back toward Christ. That's not what we're talking about. So if you find those are the kind of things you're struggling with in your life, that's not what we're talking about. We're also not talking about the sins of the past. We're not talking about what it was like when I was a baby Christian or when I wasn't a Christian or when I was still learning things. We're talking about the here and the now. Is your attitude simply, what I'm doing is okay because I want to do it? When Pooh got stuck in the tree the second time, well, the tree after he got out of the rabbit's hole, did you pay attention to the song he began to sing? Bears love honey, okay? I'm a Pooh Bear, so I do care. Time for something sweet. Pooh tied his love of honey not to the fact that he was overindulging himself. Pooh tied his love of the honey as, I'm just made to do this. So he continued to indulge himself, and he never saw what he was doing and the way that he was approaching his obsession with honey as a problem. And I tell you all that because if that idea that I put out that there is a consequence to indulging the flesh, if it causes you to have problems or it causes you to squirm in your seat a little bit or it causes you to understand that there's something just not right, then you know what? The problem is between you and God. The problem is between how you're living your life and how you're indulging the flesh and how you're growing and what God says you're supposed to do. Because it's not my list. It's not the way that I want to have things work. But here's some good news for you. If you're struggling today, if you find yourself indulging the flesh, it's all forgivable. There isn't a single solitary thing on that list that Christ did not die for. There isn't a struggle that is on there that cannot be covered by the blood of Christ. But I want you to know there are some things that have to happen. And we find those things in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is what it reads. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, I want to talk about this word that we talk about a lot, this word repent. Let's go back to the clip. Do you remember Rabbit? Poor Rabbit. All he did was invite a friend to lunch, but now he's got a poo stuck in his front door. But I want to pay attention to how Rabbit wanted to first address the fact that he had a poo stuck in his door. What's the first thing he tried? He wanted to turn the chair away from it and just ignore it. You know what? If I don't look at it, then it's not there. If I don't observe what's happening in my life, then it's not really happening. He had fooled himself into believing that he could ignore the poo stuck in his door or the indulgence that was around him simply by just ignoring it. And it didn't work. What happened was that he turned and there was the mirror, and when he turned away from it, there it was again. And so he tried something else, and I think we try to do this more often than not. As he pulled that frame off, he held it up, he said, I can't ignore it, but I sure can disguise it. I can take that frame and I can put it around the poo that's stuck in my door, and I can decorate all around it, and I can draw a smiley face on it, and I can make it look all good and make it look like it's part of my decor that it's supposed to be there. And everything is good at that point, until it isn't. Because eventually, Roo comes along and gives Pooh the honeysuckles, and he sniffs them, and he sneezes, and away goes exactly what Rabbit had built, and there's still a poo stuck in his door. The idea that indulgence is still in our life is right there. See, nothing ever got repented of. Even think about it. Did Pooh change? He got stuck in that rabbit hole, and he had to sit there and he had to wait. He had to go all, it says, for months that he had no honey. He was going to change his action. I'm not going to indulge myself, and I'm going to have nothing, and I'm going to wait until I get thin again, and I can get out of the problem that I have. And the problem is, as soon as he got out of the problem that he had, where did he go? Right back to the honey. You see, he changed his actions, but deep inside, he never changed his obsession. He never turned away. He never repented. And that's hard. Because God says that repentance is the key to forgiveness. Not ignoring, not accepting, not just trying to decorate, and not time of just on good behavior. That's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is about repentance. You see, don't just change your behavior. Because eventually, your behavior is going to come back to get you. Don't just say, I'm going to be good for a while. You have to do something with the sin, and God says, repent. And as you turn away from your sin, it isn't just about taking something out. It's about putting something in. It's about turning toward God or making your belief align with Him. Now, that's even harder because that means I have to take some of those things that underneath the surface, not just the fact that I have outbursts every now and then, now I have to go back and deal with the underneath the surface issue of fits of rage. I don't have to just deal with the fact that I tell lies. I have to go back and deal with the jealousy. I don't have to just deal with the fact that I'm having this. I have to go back and I have to actually look at inside of me what needs to change, what needs to align with God. You see, otherwise, you're going to continue to indulge the flesh. You're going to continue to struggle with the same sins over and over and over again. And it's all because you're trying to change the actions and not trying to repent and turn toward God on the inside. Now, there's good news. Because after you turn toward God, after you repent, God says He will wipe it out. I love this. He doesn't just cover it. He doesn't just take the book that the sin was written in and put it up on the shelf and say, we'll come back to this later if we have another problem. He says, I totally wipe it out. It is gone from everything, even the internet. It's all gone. You know, we have this thing in our society that we put things up online and we think that at some point we take it off and it's all gone. Just so you know, everything is permanent once it reaches the internet. But God doesn't keep like the internet. God says, I'll wipe it out. I'll take it out of your being. And not only will I wipe out your sin, He says, I will refresh you. I will start back at square one with your life. That sounds great, doesn't it? But I want you to notice step one. We can't ignore it. We can't disguise it. We can't simply try to change our actions. We have to figure out what it means to repent and get ourselves before God. I mean, why not just keep in the way that we're going? Well, we have to go back to this table, to these simple emblems. Galatians 5, chapter 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know what? Jesus paid a heavy price for your freedom. It cost Him a bunch. It cost Him pain and suffering on the cross. It cost Him experiencing pain and suffering and separation from God. It cost Him having to be laid into a tomb. There was a heavy price that was paid for your freedom. And you know what? He wants you to be free. That's the desire. That's the desire that He wants. He wants you to be free from what is enslaving you. Because He wants you to stand firm in your relationship with Him. From the beginning of time, all the way back down to Adam and Eve, all God has ever desired from us is to have an open relationship with us and Him. And He still wants that. He wants to remove the burden of sin from your life. And here's the question. Why are we still choosing slavery through indulgence? God has made this path that we can accept Christ for who He is. We can accept God for what He has done for us. And He can help us work through our indulgence issues. Now, I want to let you know something. It isn't an easy path. Because you know what? God will always take you just as you are, but He'll never leave you where He found you. And so as you begin to walk this path, and God will begin to work on the inside issues, which will consequently change the outside issues, it may take you a lifetime to get to that point. But the point is that we cannot keep continuing to go back and say, I can do this. I can use my definition of freedom that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and that will make it all okay. And God just has to take me like I am. That's not what Galatians chapter 5 says. Galatians chapter 5 says that God desires us to be free. But to be free, we have to be free in Christ. We have to take His yoke upon us. Not the yoke of slavery through sin where I get to do whatever I want. Because we need to understand, we can continue to indulge the flesh and continue to grow in Christ. Both can't happen. You have to make a choice. Do I want to grow my relationship toward God? Or do I want to live my life any way that I choose, however I choose, whenever I want? God says it's your choice. He's not going to be like Christopher Robin and pull you out of the rabbit hole. He's going to wait and see if you're willing to come out and have a relationship with Him. And then He will walk beside you all the days of your life. If you're here this morning and you've never experienced Christ, let me encourage you. Come on forward. Yeah, I know this can be a very heavy message, but the idea is that God is here to forgive. And you know what? Come on forward. We'll teach you who Jesus is. We'll sit down and turn the pages of Scripture with you. And you know what? You can find that beginning step in a life for Christ. Of course, if you're here and you've kind of started your path, but maybe you've wandered, maybe as you heard that list in Galatians, you have some things that you're struggling with. Remember, God isn't writing the list saying that this is what you're doing so much for you. It's all forgivable. God is just waiting for you to turn your life back toward Him. Maybe you need to do that right where you are during our time of decision. Maybe you need to do that at home after you take some time to think about this sermon. Maybe God is touching upon your heart and you need somebody to pray with this morning. You can come forward and we'll pray with you about what you're struggling with. Times of decision are always about what you need to do. Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.